Thank you all for allowing me and Larry to go to the Southwest Believers Convention. You can't go and sit in that and not be affected by it. And while they're taking up the offering, I'll just tell you a few deals. Am I on the website? Well, Larry thinks I'm racist. Because everyone that connected to me was black. I told one guy who was talking to him, and he will be at this year's church. He lives in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. He's retired Air Force. And he said he's coming down here, and I told him, I said, let's just be honest. I said, you're black and I'm white. But I said, you ain't no different than me. And I told him, I said, you know, we was talking, I said, I got three horses. I said, one's a paint horse, one's a buckskin, and one's a roan horse. And every one of them is registered. I said, but they're all registered court horses. I said, your color doesn't make you any different than me. And, you know, he and I connected. But anyway, Monday is when I connected with him. But Monday, you go in at 9 o'clock, Larry and I get there about 7. They'd have pre-service prayer, and we'd pray and stuff, and then they'd go till about noon, and they'd dismiss you. Well, I went outside. Larry, he was already gone. And now, that man can live off beef jerky and lettuce, you know. I think he was cold. Isn't that what you said? He said, I'm going outside and warm up. And so he went outside, and by the time I got outside, I was talking to this guy from Georgia. And we were sitting there talking, and we looked up, and there was this guy, and he had to be higher than a kite. He was in the middle of the street, and he was staggering so bad, he couldn't even get over the curb. And he was out in the middle of the street running in front of the convention center, and that guy from Georgia and another guy, and I just took off walking towards him. Well, they got to him before I did, because I was praying in the Spirit as I was going, you know, and they said, let me get you out of the street so you don't get hit by a car. And they put him by a tree. Well, even them helping him, I mean, he is just like this all over the place. And I'd praying in the Spirit, and he was holding on to a tree. And he wasn't drunk, because I didn't smell nothing. So it had to be drugs, you know what I'm saying? And I said, can I pray for you? He said, yeah. I just prayed in the Spirit. And I didn't lay my hands on him immediately because I was just praying in the Spirit, you know. And you've heard Brother Copeland say that Oral Roberts said, don't lay your hands on him until you're ready to release your faith. So I prayed in the Spirit. And the minute that I touched him, he just wilted down that tree. And I was standing behind him, so I couldn't see his face. And that guy from Georgia was sitting down there with him. And he said, "This he's being set free." So, I mean, I didn't see him, but it wasn't me doing it. It was what was inside of me and what I was allowing to come out. And I'm talking about we're treading on ground that we've never treaded on, because I wouldn't have done that before. You know what I'm saying? So got him up, and I might have prayed what seemed to be like 10 minutes, but it was probably about 5. Got him up and led him to, he said, he was right out there in the sun. Said, you want to go? Them other two said, you want to go to the shade? He said, yeah. Well, he walked. He didn't stagger. He went to the tree, and they said, are you all right? And I was still praying in the Spirit. And he said, yeah. And I asked him, I said, have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? He said, no. I said, do you want to? And he said, yeah. And I reached around, and he is homeless. I mean, you know, his hair was greasy and stuff. And I just stuck my arm around him, and I just pulled him into me. And I led him in the prayer of salvation. And, you know, I got to thinking. I was telling somebody and I got to thinking, you know, you've heard Greg Stevens talk about the shepherd would carry the sheep around their shoulders. Why did they do that? Because so they'd smell like sheep. And I got to thinking, you know, the thought come to me in my kind of warped sense of humor, my warped way of thinking. You know, I've worked a lot of cattle, and I've never worked them without getting a little cow manure on me. And you get to smell them like them. But you can't be afraid to grab what needs to be worked on and draw them close to you. Because whenever I got done praying with that guy, he didn't turn loose of me. He just kept holding on and holding on. But you got to be prepared, because God's going to call you to places you've never been before. So, I'll pray and then I'll get started. Well, Father, I just thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Father, you have anointed me to bring forth the good news. And Father, I thank you that this body of Christ is a body that you're working through. Father, I thank you that every time that we come in to this building, we expect you to be here because we're here. And Father, we allow you to work through us. And Father, we're willing to step out in whatever you call us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, just kind of tell you some stuff. Whenever I told Larry, I said, you know what's weird about this? Every time you go to one of these conferences, God will connect you with somebody. And there was this one pastor. When I was praying for that guy, and I got done praying for that guy, I just kind of sat down. Well, there's a pastor that I hadn't seen him in 2 years. And he's from Terrell, Texas, he and his wife. They come by, and I seen him, and I spoke to him. Well, his name's Toby, and her name's Paula. He didn't recognize me, but she did. And I just spoke to him, and we visited a little bit, and then I went and sat down. After the second session that he come up to me, Larry? He come up to me, and Larry took a picture, and Deb said, oh, no, big Gavin and little Gavin. Because they both are dressed about the same. But anyway, he told me, he said, tell me about your church. And I told him, you know, about the church and how, you know, we were a word church or a charismatic church or whatever. And he said that my place is to develop this body. That because, he said, after this is over, and I assume the coronavirus or whatever, there's a tsunami of the Spirit that's going to break out that I can't contain. And every one of you are going to have to take your part. Is that? Well, what prophecy was prophesied over this church a few months ago? Winds of change or waves? You got it? Yeah. As soon as he said that. Thank you. And that you can't go. Well, you can go and listen to stuff and be fed like that and not receive something because you choose not to. But Larry and I went there expecting to receive something, you know. And then the next day, Larry and I didn't get there as early because we decided we was going to go eat breakfast at Jake's, yeah, at Jake's. And Jake's is good enough, we eat there every meal, didn't we, Larry? Yeah. But anyway, we went down to, and we ate breakfast at Jake's. And we got there a little bit late. Well, somebody had got the seat where we sat the day before. And our little usher was a black woman, and she told me that morning when I walked by, she hollered at me. That morning we didn't get our own seat back. And she said, "You guys blessed me yesterday just being there." So anyway, I went and sat down, and the Lord was dealing with me. Sow into her. Well, somebody sowed into me to go. Well, I took what they sowed into me, and I sowed into her. And I walked up to her after the first session, and I said, "Hey, God told me I need to give you something." Well, come to find out. Think about this. Everybody I connected with was ex-military and black. Her husband was retired from the Army. And she said, when I handed her that, she said, "God told me that you had something for me." But she said, "I just wrote it off because we didn't sit in our seat where we was." But she said, "Because you were faithful and done what he told you to do, this is what he told me to tell you. What you have been believing for," let's see, I wrote it down. Okay. She told me the Lord told her I was going to give her something, but because, you know, we didn't sit in the same seats, she disregarded it. But she said, because I was faithful, she said, God, the Lord told her to tell me that what I was believing for, I was going to receive it in a greater measure than I ever thought was possible. But here's the thing about it. Then after lunch, we come back. And I tell you what I've been believing for. What have we been believing for? We've been believing for revival to break out in this church. We've been believing for this church to be full. So I can say, well, I don't believe that's going to happen. But I received it. So you all better get here early because you're not going to be able to get your seat before long. You're going to have to get here early. But I'm just saying, here's the thing. But here's what's neat. When we come back, we're sitting in a different seat. And this won't, now remember this, our usher said how Larry and I blessed her just for being there. Then this woman walked up to us, and she reminded me so much of my mom, her skin color, her hair, and everything. She said, "You guys bless me." And she had one of them masks on. I couldn't understand her. But she took her mask down. And she said, "You guys bless me for being men. And the way we took notes and the way we worshiped and stuff." But the thing about it is, she had a word for Larry. And I don't know, are you going to share that Wednesday night? Okay, so y'all, if you don't come, you're going to miss something. But anyway, she not only had a word for Larry Tuesday, the Lord gave her a word for Larry Wednesday. I don't know what it is, because, I mean, I know what the one she gave Tuesday, but I don't know what she gave him before, you know what I'm saying? But here's the deal. We went expecting, and because we went expecting, he was talking to us, and he was reassuring us that the waves are changing. That revival's coming. It's already started. That what this church is believing for, we're not going to be able to contain it. Okay? But the thing about it is, this woman here, she was from Albuquerque, New Mexico, right? Guess what? When she got home, she had to quarantine. She's going to have to quarantine because she came. Now, here's another thing about it. I read a deal yesterday. Fort Worth is in Tarrant County. There was a judge in Tarrant County and some county officials that were frustrated because that convention was able to take place. And there was, when the day we left, there was over 3,000 people that had registered. And I told Larry, I said, they're not going to be able. It just kept growing and growing, didn't it? But Greg Abbott, which is the governor of Texas, he said that the church is essential. He closed down the abortion clinics and didn't shut down any church. And here's the deal. They said what was so aggravating, the county officials, is even the people who can't wear masks. Larry, I wore mine all the time. Lord, forgive me because I told a lie. But they couldn't do anything about it because of the separation of church and state. And that is how the separation of church and state is meant to be. The government cannot regulate the church. And I thought, you know, for a while I thought, well, you know, how come Kenneth Copeland, you know, how come he's being so passive, I thought. But he was waiting for the bigger battle. You know what I'm saying? But I've been to, that makes the third Southwest Believers Convention that I've been to. You and I went twice, and then Larry. Yeah, they went with us once. And I've been to ministers' conferences but I have never been under such anointing as I was this time. And I really believe that it is because of what was given up to come. Because there was quite a few people there, right, Larry, that was going to have to quarantine because they came. They gave up something to set under that. And then, I mean, you could just feel the anointing, couldn't you, Larry? So, get ready for what's coming. And prepare yourself. And the thing about it is, you know, when you play sports, if you don't condition yourself and work out, whenever you need to be running, you'll be sitting there with your grabbing the bottom of your shorts and your tongue hanging out because you won't be ready. That's what God's telling us. Be ready. So, okay, well, that was all free. So, Jesse Duplantis, and I told Larry, I said, as soon as Jesse Duplantis started talking, I said, I know what God wants me to talk about. And Jesse Duplantis was talking about we're on untrodden ground. But he talked about we're in the fourth watch. Do you know what the fourth watch means? That's right. Now, I've got a good friend that's a retired Army Ranger. I don't know how many tours he did in Vietnam. But he told me, he said, I've seen the sunrise for so many years. And he said, especially in Vietnam. Because in the fourth watch is when the enemy would always attack me or attack us in the darkest hour. But in the darkest hour, the fourth watch is the last watch. And if you'll notice, when the parable of the 10 virgins, when did the bridegroom come? In the fourth hour, in the night, okay? So everybody's saying we're in the last time. We're in the last of the last days. I'm not saying he's going to come tomorrow because no one knows the time or the hour, but we know the season, okay? And we know that he's coming back for a glorified church, okay? Well, we've been praying for that. We've been believing for that. And then went down there, and it got confirmed to us twice. Well, he's trying to glorify the church, but it's the church's responsibility to do what he's called them to do. You know, here's the deal. The Lord called me to pray for that guy that couldn't get out of the street. But I had a choice to make. I could have sat there and watched him stagger all over the place. But I got up. And it didn't seem like a big deal. But you know what? It was a big deal to him. Because he went from not being, from staggering all over the place to being able to walk. He went from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And that's our job. When God gives us something that we may not think is big, the only thing is stepping out. Because all I seen when I started walking over, I seen an old boy that couldn't get out of the street. But as I prayed, I knew there was something more for me to do than just help him out of the street. And it was to release the anointing that was inside of me. But that anointing that's in me is in you. Because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, but it dwells in every one of us. See, all I had to do was just obey the Lord. I prayed in the Spirit till I could release my faith. It wasn't about the anointing wasn't in me. It was about me releasing my faith. And he, you know, the gospel is set the captives free. And whenever I finally got faith enough to lay hands on him, he wilted. What happened is the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He got closer to the kingdom of heaven than he was the kingdom of darkness. Wasn't nothing I did except being obedient to what God told me to do. You see, that's what whenever we're believing for our healing or believing for our finances, when we get closer to the kingdom of heaven than we are the kingdom of darkness, darkness will never overshadow light. Because we're to be the light of the world. I mean, there's not any place that our foot treads that God didn't say was ours. Okay? So, the fourth watch is the last part of the night. It's between 3 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock in the morning. It's the darkest part of the day. Well, it looks pretty dark right now, doesn't it? Okay. The fourth watch is the watch at the point where we wake up. And it's so dark that we look back and we want to say, well, I got a few more hours to sleep. But the church is being woke up right now. And instead of going back to sleep, the church is getting up and praying. What's the Bible say? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. That's what we're doing. We're in the fourth watch. The church is in the fourth watch. The church is stepping up. And this nation is going to be healed. It is going to be brought back to a godly nation because of what our forefathers did for us. I was going to bring a flag that Terry got me. And it's called the Appeal to Heaven. And it is the first flag that ever flew over this nation. And it's an evergreen tree. Our forefathers took that flag on before the Betsy Ross flag or everything. John Locke, I think, was the man who they quoted it. And you know, Benjamin Franklin, the world will tell you he was an ungodly man. But you know how come Congress prays every morning when they open up? Because Ben Franklin said, we need to appeal to heaven. Appeal to a greater being than us. So, but anyway, what our forefathers set in action, it's our place to help fulfill it. It's just like I said a week or two ago, Faith Chapel has never fulfilled its destiny, its purpose that God planned. How come? Because it's left up to you and I to take it on farther. You know, Pauline, Denise, were you here the very first, Denise? I guess really Pauline and I are the only two that were here at the very start. And I was just a little bitty boy, maybe 13, I don't know. But, you know, I was, people always told me, said, you were born in the wrong generation. You know, because I always liked Civil War stuff and the cowboy stuff. God knew exactly I needed to be born right now. And that's the thing. You were born at this time for a special purpose. You were born to do something that, like the Lord, that nobody else can do. There's a lot of people that get aggravated at my bluntness and me talking about, well, you know, working cattle, you'll get a little cow manure on you. Well, that's not very religious. That ain't religious. But you know what? It's the truth. And you know what? The church has turned more people away from it than they've ever drawn to it. Because they say, well, if you don't change, you're going to hell. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the only way you go to hell is denying Christ. So the church has got to do what God told them to do and speak and teach the gospel, the good news. What is it? God come to set you free. I don't care what you've done. God come to set you free. Well, part of your salvation is not being broke. It's not being sick. Your testimony as the body of Christ is to walk in divine health. Whenever the coronavirus is affecting everybody, it ain't affecting us. Why is that? Because we're in Goshen. We've been covered by the blood of the Lamb. And it's our choice. It is our responsibility to choose life. Everybody else wants to choose death. So be it. If you don't believe it, well, you can get sick. I don't care. But I'll be bold enough to tell you that coronavirus can't come on me. Now, will symptoms try to attach yourself? Yeah, they'll try to attach themselves. But you know what? I'll bust them upside the head because I'm not going to put up with it. And that's what the body of Christ has to do. The devil will come immediately to steal what you're standing on. It don't matter what you're standing for, the devil will come to try to steal it. Well, we can talk the problem or we can talk the answer. The answer is life. And here's the thing. When people look at the body of Christ walking out the way God called them to walk out, that's what's going to change the world. It's not going to change the world, me going around and telling everybody, say, well, if you don't change, you're going to hell. No, what changes people is grabbing that old boy that couldn't get off the street and pulling him in and telling him that God wants him set free. I don't know what I told him, but I squatted down there behind him and I told him, I said, you know what? If you were the only person on the face of this earth, God loved you so much He sent His Son for you. That's the truth. That's my job. My opinion don't matter. What matters is what God wants us to say. That's why it's so important for us to have an intimate relationship with Him and know His will. And His will is that none should perish. His will was for the body, for everyone on the face of this earth to walk in divine health. He didn't send Jesus to the whipping post just so some could walk in health. He sent Him to the whipping post and to the cross so everyone could. It's not about what we have to do to get to heaven. It's about what we have to receive to get there. We have to receive what Christ has done. We couldn't have paid the price that was paid for us. And you know, so we're in the fourth watch. The fourth watch is the time that biblically strategic events can take place. Jacob wrestled with God and he met him face to face. And it said, and that's in, if you want to write these scriptures down and read them later, that's in Genesis 32, 22 through 31. And what he did, he was leaving Laban, I think. But anyway, he wrestled with God, and that's when he went from being Jacob to becoming Israel. That's when he, that's when God always said, I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac. But after Jacob's personal experience with God, he became the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, when God becomes personal to us, whenever we read the blessing of Abraham is upon you, whenever we become personal relationship, that ain't just Abraham's blessing. The blessing of Gavin's going to come upon you. The blessing of Stacy, the blessing of Bobby, the blessing of Megan, the blessing of Yusi. It's going to come upon you. When we become so intimate, we become invincible. There's nothing when we're intimate with the Father, there's nothing that we're afraid of. David was so confident in the covenant that he ran at Goliath. Well, there's a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of so-called Christians that was under the same covenant that is hunkered down behind a rock, is afraid to get up and go. Why is that? Because they hadn't, it hadn't become personal. They've seen themselves as servants to Saul, but David's seen himself as a servant of the Most High God. That's what you are. And when you see yourself as that, when God tells you to do something, man, you go running at it, okay? Moses led the Israelites across the Red Sea. Exodus. Lauren, put that. Have you got that? Exodus 14, 20 through 26. And it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. And that was the pillar of fire. And there was a cloud of darkness, or what? And it gave. And there was a cloud, and the darkness yet gave it light by night. And the one came not near the other. Egypt didn't come near Egypt. Israel that night. Okay, go ahead. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and Jehovah caused the sea to go back by the strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right and to their left. And the Egyptians pursued them and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch, what watch? In the morning watch, that Jehovah looked forth upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and disconformed, and the host of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels, and they drove them heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for Jehovah fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And Jehovah said unto Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, and the waters came upon them. So we're in a time where it's time for us to cross over. I mean, it's time for us to cross over to a place that we may not be comfortable in going. But God's told us. God told Moses, said, stretch your staff out. And if you'll notice, the enemy was destroyed. It doesn't matter how dark it looks. It doesn't matter if it looks like we're going to be defeated. I mean, we've applied the blood. the blood has been applied for us. Okay? Peter and Jesus walked on the water. That's in Matthew 14, 25 and 26. In the fourth watch. Read that, Terry. Jesse, the planet said, when Peter said, "If that be me, bid me; if that be you, bid me to come." Jesus said, "Come." He said, "Peter started coming." They said, "If Jesus said come all the way, Peter'd have made it all the way." But here's the thing: when God tells us to come, we got to step out. Okay? The bridegroom woos his bride in the night hours. And that's Matthew. You don't have to put this up there. 25:1-13. I wrote down here, during the fourth watch, there are significant power encounters that make the way for the kingdom of God to penetrate into this earth. You know, Jesus, there a lot of times he'd pray all night. Okay? In Luke 12:35-40, you can put that up there, Lord. Carolyn.
Let your loins be girded about and your lamps burning. And be yourselves like unto men looking for their Lord, when he shall return from the marriage feast, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may straightway open unto him. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them sit down.
And that's so important, because we look at it as well. I mean, I've heard people say, this is so bad that God can't, you know, it'd have to be a miracle. Well, yeah, duh. I mean, he parted the Red Sea. Was that not a miracle? Whenever he told Joshua and Caleb to go across, he parted the Jordan River all the way back to the city of Adam, 16 miles. Was that not a miracle? Do you think what's going on today is any big deal? And here's the thing, that we're being warned to be ready. I went and doctored a horse for a person yesterday. And I was sitting there talking to him. And this person, you know, was talking about their kids don't really go to church with them and stuff. And they said they were talking to one of their kids, and this one kid said, "Well, you know, on so-and-so day," he said, "this pastor more or less scared the hell out of me, and I got saved." He said, "I was a little boy. I'm 54 years old, and the Lord hadn't come yet, so I'm not too worried about it." Do you think that they're looking? Are they watching? See that? But here's the deal: the body of Christ is kind of in the same deal. The body of Christ has went to sleep. A lot of the bodies went to sleep, and it's time that the church wakes up. It's time that we stir ourselves up. That's why the Lord is sending the third great awakening to wake the church up. I heard Dutch Sheets say that he felt like in the next 10 to 20 years, and he said, "I don't have any idea when the Lord's coming," but he said, "There's going to be more souls saved in this time now, from here on out, till the Lord comes, than has been saved in history." But we've got to be ready. We got to be looking. It's time for you and I to walk where we've never walked before. I wrote down here, what are we waiting for? The job of the Christian is to conquer the whole world. That's what Jesse the Planet said. And God believes in taking back territory that the enemy stole. And he's prepared us. I mean, this thing. I wrote down here, we need to start treading where we've never treaded before. And if you go in Joshua 1:1-9, then we know that Moses had died. You know, and Jesse the Planet said that Joshua and them were kind of mourning the death of Moses. He said, now this is Jesse. Jesse said, God said, you go on. He said, I've give you a land to possess. Quit worrying about Moses. I'll take care of Moses. You go possess what I told you to. And you know, there's so many times that, I mean, and me, well, I can't do this because, you know, I might have depended on my mom and her faith, or depended on Pauline, or we might have thought, well, Faith Chapel can't do what it's been called to do because all the ones that helped start this church, they're gone. God said, quit mourning over them and get up and go take the land. See, we're going to have to do what God called us to do. It is our mandate. I mean, God told Moses, said, you take those children to the promised land. Well, they didn't go. They wandered 40 years in the wilderness. That God's word never changed. Well, it's like 45 years before Caleb ever went to the mountain that he scouted. You know, I told you the other day, this church has been here 45 years. I don't know if that means anything. But to me, it said, you're just like Caleb. What I spoke over this church 45 years ago, go take what I told you to take. Yeah, quit sitting around. It's time to cross the Jordan. It don't matter what you think you got. It matters what I told you. And I've already told you that every place the sole of your foot treads is yours. Don't be afraid to go over. And what happened? Whenever they went over, God gave them the smallest little city to conquer. Jericho was the biggest city around. They went over. Well, when they sent the spies, what did Rahab say? What took you so long? Man, they've been scared for 45 years. You know, that's really what the world's saying when the body of Christ steps out and does what we've been called to do. The world is going to say, what took you so long? How come you've been dragging your feet? God's mandate for this church and this body has not changed. It's time for us to step out and not be the least bit afraid of what God's called us to do. Because here's the deal. Guess what? You and I weren't the first ones He called. Like I said about Donald Trump, I'll bet you Donald Trump wasn't his first choice for president. But he was the only one that had nerve enough to do what God called him to do. You know what? We're not the first ones that was chosen. But we've been chosen at this time and for this hour to step out and do what He's called us to do. Every one of us have a mandate. Every one of us have been called to do something. And it's time that we step out and start doing it. You know, it's just like I told that one guy. He called me about it, about a horse. It went from the best horse that he had ever had to now he's wanting to get rid of it. What happened? We kept letting little problems go by instead of solving the problem right off the start. That's what the body of Christ is. The body of Christ has waited to feel like the Spirit of God's moving instead of taking Him at His word and saying, I have already give you every place your feet. The body of Christ should be the healthiest group of people on the face of the earth. We shouldn't be the least bit concerned to say the coronavirus can't even touch us. That virus might try to attach itself to us, but I'm not going to let it. I mean, John G. Lake during the bubonic plague, there was people getting sick, and they said, you're not even affected by it. And he said, well, put that virus on my hand and then put it under the microscope. And they put that virus under the microscope, and you can just see it going to work. They put it on his hand, and he stuck his hand under the microscope, and it started dying. That's how the curse is supposed to be affected by the body of Christ. When we get closer to the kingdom of heaven than we are to this world, it can't last. It can't stay on. The thing about it is, the body of Christ, and this will really make a lot of people mad, the body of Christ should be the wealthiest people on the face of the earth. Why are we blessed? So that we can have whatever we want? No, to be a blessing. You know, that's the body of Christ has to start walking out what God's called us to do. Why? So His covenant can be established on the earth. You know, every place Larry and I went and ate at Jake's, we ate at McDonald's one time, but at Jake's, Larry and I blessed whoever waited on us. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, if we can't afford to leave somebody a good tip, then we shouldn't go out and eat. You know, don't pray for your food where they can hear you and then cheat them out of their tip. Pray for your food and then bless them. I mean, that's a lot greater witness than saying, oh, Lord, bless this food, and then give them a little bitty tip. I mean, what? Well, yeah, that's just like them holy rollers. Right? I mean, the world will tell you the church is, if you're not poor, you're not humble. Well, that's BS. We're supposed to be so blessed that the world is envious of us. Not because we hoard it, because we can't give it away fast enough. I'm going to close with this. But Jesse Duplantis, he told about, he said, God will give you opportunities to excel. That's my word. He said a friend of his called him and said, Jesse, are you going to have coffee? And Jesse said, yeah. So they went down there and That guy got there and he said, Jesse, do you want to buy some land? And there's another friend of Jesse's with him. He said, yeah. Said, well, get in my truck. And said, we can all three get in the cab of my truck and we'll go look at it. Well, they drove over there and it was a trash pile. It was a dump. I mean, it was like a landfill. Jesse said, well, I ain't going to buy that. Said, that's nothing but trash. Jesse said, and the guy with me said, that's just all that is. It's just trash. I'm not going to buy that. Jesse said, we could have bought that for $3,000. Said, I had $1,000 in my pocket. And that friend of mine had $1,000 in his pocket. And he said, we're not going to buy it. Well, that friend of theirs said, well, if you're not going to buy it, I guess I will. Jesse said, okay, I don't want nothing to do with it. What was the time frame in that, Larry? It wasn't very long, was it? He said, I think it was within a year, that piece of property went from $3,000 to $3 million. That friend of his sold it. And he said, Jesse said, every time that friend of mine seen it, he'd just laugh and go, Jesse. But he said, Jesse said, God was trying to bless me, but I seen trash. And so when God calls us to do something, we need to heed it. Because Jesse was going to sow 1,000 and reap 1,000,000. See, God's ways are not our ways. Jesse seen trash. God seen a blessing. And Jesse, he said, he sowed, I forget, it was an astronomical amount into a ministry on Monday, and by Tuesday, he had already received the harvest of what he had sown. And they're talking about, the scripture talks about the reaper will overtake the sower. And that's the time that we're in. We're in the end days. Time's speeding up. And the time, the growing time is cutting short. That's why when Jesus went to the marriage supper and he turned water into wine, what did he do? He bypassed the planting, the reaping, and the fermentation period. And he turned it into the best wine ever. That's the time that we're living in right now. We're living in the end times. And guess what? The greatest revival. God's coming back for a glorified church. We have got to start seeing ourselves the way God sees us. Quit seeing ourselves the way the world sees us, okay? So, does anybody have anything that need prayer for or anything? Yeah, okay. Terry, if you want to go back there, Megan, would you help her and go back there and get that communion, and we'll take communion? Yeah, you and Megan, if you would. But I'll pray while they're walking back there, and then we'll take communion. Well, Father, I just pray that everyone within the sound of my voice, Father, I thank you that we all submit to you. Father, we hear your voice. And Father, that boldness that we have, because we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus, Father, it raises up. And Father, I thank you that you're revealing to each one of us what you have called us to do. And Father, I thank you that we know that every place that the soles of our foot treads, that you've already given it to us. And Father, I thank you that we're not afraid to step out and go where you called us to go and do what you called us to do. Father, because you have already made it available to us, and you've already given us the victory. Father, I just plead the blood of Jesus over this whole body in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.